question. You know, I learned about that thanks to a subscription to the Japan Times. As a matter of fact, she was Miss Japan last year, right?
I think so.
Yeah, one of those glorified beauty contests. And it's a fascinating story. I gathered that she was disqualified because she was dating a married man.
Yes, things come up when there's a problem, and then they look for, well, is there another reason we can get rid of her?
Well, you know, I'll give you a different twist on that because basically I think you're right. They could turn around and say, yes, the guy was married, but the dirty dog didn't tell her he was married. See what I mean?
Right.
And it's a good question that you ask because it gets to the nub and it's something that we think a lot about. And in fact, I teach about in the course of my work at Cal State Long Beach. This whole issue of acceptance by the Japanese. And she was heartbroken. I don't know what her language skills are, but getting removed from her title, losing her title was, I gather, deeply disillusioning for her. That she felt like she was definitely part of the culture, accepted, etc., etc. It's very complicated in the case of Japan, but you know what it really boils down to, and let me speak to you as an anthropologist about this. People form the strongest bonds when they've got common goals.
Sam Coleman, I want to thank you very much for joining us on Politics or Pedagogy.
Thanks so much, John. It was a privilege and a pleasure.
Likewise. Hi, this is John Crumshaw, host of Politics or Pedagogy. I have a 30-second elevator pitch. Why? We want to elevate our standing by contributing $21, $1 per year for the 21 years Politics or Pedagogy is on the air. And also because our building doesn't have an elevator now, but when we return in 2 years, it will have an elevator. $21, kpfk.org. How's that for an elevator pitch?
Good afternoon and welcome to Middle East in Focus. I'm Negwa Ibrahim. The real estate company called My Israel Home has been organizing several exhibitions across cities in Canada and the United States, pitching the sale of homes in settlements in the occupied West Bank. Last Sunday, My Israel Home held one of its real estate fairs in Teaneck, New Jersey, in the Keter Torah Synagogue. The event drew hundreds of protesters speaking out against My Israel Home and these exhibition events. Organized by several Jewish organizations, including the Northern New Jersey branch of Jewish Voice for Peace, along with Teaneck for Palestine, the protesters marched 1.4 miles from the Teaneck Armory to the synagogue, waving flags, beating drums, and chanting, quote, Free Palestine. In a video that has racked up 1.9 million views, Rich Siegel, a 65-year-old Jewish resident from Teaneck, condemned the planned event at a recent township council meeting. He went on to tell reporters, quote, I think that Zionism is Jewish supremacy and Jewish entitlement, and I think that this event is an expression of that. It's obscene to have an Israeli real estate event while Israel is committing genocide in Gaza, end quote. The New Jersey chapters of the Council on American-Islamic Relations and American Muslims for Palestine have called for a federal investigation into the event, saying that, quote, it is deeply concerning to see anyone use a house of worship to allegedly flout international law by selling off stolen land, end quote. The Palestinian Assembly for Liberation Law Commission also filed complaints on Monday and sent cease and desist letters to the real estate company that hosted My Home in Israel events and to the synagogues that rented the company space. Israeli settlements in the West Bank are considered illegal under international law. The U.S. also recently restored its position that they are inconsistent with international law, a position that it had abandoned under the Trump administration. With us today to talk about the real estate company My Israel Home and the exhibition events it has been organizing across cities in Canada and the U.S., including most recently in Teaneck, New Jersey, pitching the sale of homes in settlements in the occupied West Bank, is our guest Azad Issa, a senior reporter for Middle East Eye based in New York City. He worked for Al Jazeera English between 2010 to 2018, covering Southern and Central Africa for the network. He is also the author of the most recent book, Hostile Homelands, The New Alliance Between India and Israel. Welcome, Azad Issa, to Middle East in Focus.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So I'm very excited to have you on the show. You are one of the journalists I do follow closely. I really appreciate your work, and I appreciate your recent reporting on this issue about My Israel Home and the protesters that were protesting the company and their exhibition events. Can you first tell us about the Israeli-based company, My Israel Home, and these events they've been organizing across the United States, like the more recent one in New Jersey that I spoke about in the intro?
Yeah, sure. Thanks again for having me this afternoon. So My Israel Home is, you could call it a kind of real estate brokerage firm that facilitates the sale of homes and property across Israel, as well as in the occupied West Bank. So this means that as a company, they kind of showcase homes for sale and they work with interested parties to buy these properties. So they kind of like chaperone, you know, potential buyers to the whole process. The company markets itself as a kind of one-stop shop for all your needs. Should you be interested in buying a house to live in, or a holiday home, or a retirement home in Israel? This is kind of how they market themselves. So it kind of encourages people, you know, to invest in Israel. And this was created in 2010. So what has been going on over the past several weeks is that the company has been coming to the East Coast of the U.S. as well as Canada, showcasing homes and properties in Israel as well as in the occupied West Bank. So according to one report, the broker said that they were showcasing property in Gush Etzion, you know, in an illegal settlement based between Jerusalem and Hebron in the occupied West Bank. So, of course, settlements in the West Bank are illegal under international law, as you have noted. So last week, you know, there was an event, a kind of real estate showcasing event of these properties that were available. It took place in Teaneck, a small town in New Jersey. And as a result, there were a bunch of protests around that.
And you mentioned that the company was established in 2010, and that more recently, in the last few weeks, it's been coming to the United States and Canada to do these events and basically pitch the sale of land that's not theirs in the West Bank, in the occupied West Bank. So were they not, prior to the last few weeks, actually coming to the U.S. doing these sorts of events? Is this fairly new that they're doing this specifically within the U.S. and Canada?
So from my understanding, these type of events have been taking place for decades. It's all part of this Israeli diaspora of, you know, getting people to do aliyah to Israel. Now, this particular company, was established in 2010. So obviously they haven't been doing it for several decades, but they definitely have been coming. This has been its modus operandi. Now, the reason this came to light, in this particular case, or in this, over the last several weeks, is because of what happened in Canada, in which, someone tried to, a non-Jewish person tried to enter an event and he wasn't allowed to do so. And then it was, you know, recorded on video, and that created, you know, some kind of viral outrage regarding that. And also what you mentioned in your intro regarding Rich Siegel, who is from Teaneck, and he basically spoke at a council meeting and he objected to this meeting taking place, or this event taking place. So that's why it has come to light at this point. Of course, selling property is obviously selling property from the occupied West Bank means, as you said already, you know, selling property that doesn't belong to Israel or to Israeli companies. And these are tracts of land that have been stolen. So when you consider that This event in Teaneck was supposed to take place under the backdrop of an ongoing genocide. These several groups got together, like Jewish Voice for Peace, American Muslims for Palestine, and others, to protest the event. And so several protesters felt that it was already illegal and wrong to be selling stolen land, obviously, but they were especially aggrieved that that this type of event was taking place so publicly, right, during this moment of a genocide. So on one hand you have a genocide unfolding, and on the other hand you have American Jewish Zionists buying up land in sort of preparation for the further ethnic cleansing of Palestinians. So for them it was just completely outrageous.
And I want to get more into the actual protests and what some of the protests or some of the statements the protesters were making. But before we get into more details around the protests, I just wanted to ask a quick follow-up on something you talked about with respect to Canada and how, what really drew attention to these types of activities and events organized by other companies, including the company My Israel Home, was the fact that someone who was non-Jewish tried to enter the event. So just for clarification, does My Israel Home only allow those who identify as Jewish, for example, to buy the quote unquote the to buy homes and to buy the stolen land?
So when you ask them this question, and of course they haven't answered any of my questions, but when others have asked this question, they have said that there is no sort of limitation or there's no restriction on who can come to these events. So what's really, there's a lot of ambiguity regarding these events. So on one hand, they say that they're not selling any property at these events, that it's just a showcasing of what's available. Now, when you think about that, that means that they are marketing something. And when you're marketing something, it means that you're connecting a potential buyer with a potential seller, which in the end is it's the same thing as selling something, right? But an exact or a precise transaction is not taking place. So when it comes to these events, in terms of showcasing the events, showcasing the properties, they say that no one is banned or no one is blocked. But when you speak to, people in the community who try to get into these events, they will tell you that all kinds of obstacles are put in place to prevent non-Jews from entering the events. And that is like essentially asking you, who's your rabbi, which synagogue you go to, these kind of particular questions that kind of like will exclude people from entering. Obviously, if you can't enter the event and you can't enter that kind of circuit of potentially purchasing something, then you're not going to reach that stage in which you can actually buy something, So people are not reaching that stage in which they are prevented from buying anything, but because they're not actually entering the first stage. But in terms of rhetoric, they are told that, or we are told that there's no restriction.
And sorry, just one. You're causing me to have a lot of follow-ups. I really, really appreciate this discussion. So, just actually one quick follow-up to what you were saying, because you're saying that they market these events as basically showcasing, but not actually selling the property.
Yeah, that's
Who
correct.
in fact then is selling the stolen land? And then that leads to my next question is, what is the relationship between this company, My Israel Home, and then the Israeli government?
So, to be honest with you, I don't know what's the connection between My Israel Home, excuse me, with the Israeli government, but their connection is with the real estate agents and real estate developers in Israel. That's the connection. They are the facilitators of the purchasing. Now, when you consider that the kind of things that they are selling, if they are selling property in the occupied West Bank, then you can assume that they are in line or they are working with the Israeli government. But I don't have, any evidence of that.
And now getting into, and you spoke a little bit about it already, but if we can talk a little bit in more detail about the protests surrounding mm-hmm. the event and the protesters who organized the event, the protesters who organized the protests against the event, can you talk about some of the statements that were made by the protesters, why they felt it very important to speak out against this event, and then also about the counter protests to the mm-hmm. protesters, and just the handful of people that were coming out in support of the event and what they were saying.
Yeah, I mean, I can talk about first the people who came out in support of the event. First, I'll start off with that, and it's important because we have to understand the context in which this event takes place. So there were actually more than a handful. There were quite a few, as in not as many as the people who had come to protest the event. Obviously, that was in the several hundreds. But at times, there were around 30 or 40 or 50 people who had come out. Now, Teaneck is a small town in New Jersey. It's a kind of a commuter town close to New York City. There are around 40 to 50,000 people in Teaneck. And you could say around 40% of Teaneck belong to the Jewish faith, right? The Jewish community. So it's a sizable number of Jewish folk live in this town. So as protesters made their way to the private event, which was taking place at a synagogue, some members of the Jewish community came out to protest the protesters, right? To stage a counter protest, and they came out. They were heckling. They're calling them terrorists. All kinds of kind of obscene gestures being shown or demonstrated towards the protesters, and they were waving Israeli flags, chanting pro-Israel slogans. Now, the ones I spoke to said that these protests were fundamentally anti-Semitic, that the protesters were just pro-Hamas, and that they were supporting the extermination of all Jews in Israel and around the world. And when I try to cut through that, right, and try to ask them a specific question about what they feel or how they felt about an event in their town selling land that or property that was on occupied territory, right? So property that was stolen, and the fact that this was being sold in their town, like, right? This is the fundamental reason the protests were taking place, right? When I asked that question, the answer was they had no problem with it, that all of the land belonged to Israel. And now this was kind of the overarching sentiment of those who had come to support the event, right? This was kind of how they see it, or how they saw it. Now, in terms of those who had come to protest the event, you know, many protesters had come out for the exact reason that, you know, we've got to stop, you know, we've got to stop pretending that what's happening in Palestine, what's happening in the Middle East, is something far removed from the U.S., that this was something, that what was happening in Teaneck was actually impacting other people's lives and other people's property and other people's, life, you know, as such, elsewhere. So the violence, they were trying to say that the violence against Palestinians in the West Bank or in Gaza was being facilitated by people here, like by Jewish Zionists in the U.S., that the theft of Palestinian land was being facilitated and sponsored in large part by Americans, as well as the American government, as well as this event in Teaneck. So I think, you know, the one has to see the company like My Israel Home acting as a kind of conduit, you know, for the expansion of the occupation. So you asked me the question of what's the relationship with Israel, with the Israeli government. I don't know the exact receipts regarding that relationship, but the nature of its job, or its nature of its of the kind of work that it does, what it sells or what it tries to facilitate, it is a kind of conduit. They follow Israeli policies and they find ready-made buyers in the U.S. to ensure that there's a kind of economy, a supply and a kind of demand for these thefts and for this violence against Palestinians to take place. So companies like My Israel Home are kind of fundamental in kind of linking Or you could say a fundamental link in both the creation and the sustenance of the occupation.
This is Middle East in Focus, and we are talking about the real estate company, My Israel Home, and the exhibition events it has been organizing across cities in Canada and the United States, including most recently in Teaneck, New Jersey, pitching the sale of homes in settlements in the occupied West Bank with our guest, Azad Issa, a senior reporter for Middle East Eye based in New York City and author of the book Hostile Homelands, The New Alliance Between India and Israel. So I actually want to build, or hopefully have you build, on the point that you just made around how the protesters were organizing this protest against My Israel Home and against these events, and really protesting in part to make the point that there is a connection between things that happen here and violence that happens abroad, like we see in terms of the genocide happening to the Palestinians. Can you talk about, in more specific terms, if you know, the impact that My Israel Home has actually had in expanding Israeli occupation of Palestine and the violence against Palestinians, all, as we've stated, is in violation of international law?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious that the again, I guess I'll build on that point in which you have to have an economy, right? You have to have a demand. So My Israel Home comes to the US and kind of seeks out buyers and seeks out people who may be interested in purchasing a property in Israel. And they now offer not just a property in Israel, but they offer a property in the occupied territory, right, in the occupied West Bank. And this means that this expands the Israeli occupation of Palestine. It expands and amplifies violence against Palestinians because they have ready-made buyers in the U.S. And it's not just in the U.S. These kind of companies are also traveling to other places. For instance, I'm from South Africa. And I got a message recently talking about, a message showing me that another company, or maybe even my Israel home, was actually traveling to South Africa soon to also reach out to the Jewish community there to kind of, invite them to buy property in Israel as well as the occupied West Bank. So this kind of company obviously, helps sustain and helps expand the occupation because it creates a kind of ready-made circuit, an ecosystem for people to buy into the project.
And I think one of the things that I'm also trying to get at and see if maybe you know is, do you know how many actual successful sales they've made in the occupied West Bank? My Israel Home?
No, I don't. So, unfortunately, I don't.
Yeah, but, I think, one of the things I really appreciate, too, about the point you're making is that it's not just limited to Canada and the U.S., that they are going to different places in the world to ensure that there is a way that the Israeli government can, in fact, continue its illegal occupation of the West Bank. I want to get into some of these other issues as it relates to the ways in which other countries are, in fact, supporting the Israeli government. And we'll get into that in a second with my last question. But before we get there, can you talk a little bit about how My Israel Home, with its violation of international laws, as well as U.S. laws, how they have, if they have been, or if they are going to be, or anything you know with respect to lawsuits against them under international law and U.S. laws. As I mentioned in my intro, the New Jersey chapters of Council on American Relations and American Muslims for Palestine have called for a federal investigation of these events by My Israel Home, as well as the company. And I know the Palestinian Assembly Assembly for Liberation Law Commission has sent cease and desist letters. But do you know of any pending lawsuits or possible lawsuits against the company?
So this part of the story, you know, I have not reported on yet. But from what I understand, the Palestinian Assembly for Liberation Law Commission, you know, took this to court, and I think this may be the first one. So I'm actually scheduled to speak to them this week about this matter to find out more. But what's important here is that, you know, it's in its complaint, it alleges that you know, these deals, you know, violate international law, they violate conventions and treaties. They cite in particular Article 49 of the Fourth Geneva Convention, which prohibits civilian population transfer into civilian into occupied territories. Now, of course, Israel says that the settlements are not illegal because of the Jewish people's historical, you know, claims to the land, but according to international law, they are completely illegal. Now, what has happened as a result of, you know, the South African case at the ICJ, in which they have now alleged that Israel is committing genocide, and they've tried several times to kind of intervene in that in the space in how Israel is conducting its operation in Gaza. This is going to increase other kinds of lawsuits and other kinds of, you know, legal attempts to hold Israel accountable. It's opened up a can of worms, in you know, to for lack of a better phrase. And I think you're going to see that there's going to be a lot more kind of attempts to hold Israel accountable legally. So I don't know if this has been, you know, brought up in the past, but certainly this is not going to be the only one that's going to be brought up.
And hopefully we'll bring you back to talk about the article that's up and coming. And hopefully we can get a representative, too, from the Palestinian Assembly for Liberation Law Commission to talk about this recent complaint that they filed in court against My Israel Home. But now I want to move on to outside of the U.S. And again, something I really appreciate about your reporting and your scholarship. The violence and genocide that's happening to Palestinians, as we know, could not be happening without companies like My Israel Home, but also without the support of other governments in the world, like that of the U.S., which I think by now many know about, but also like that of India, which I don't know if many people know about. Now, you've written extensively about this as a journalist and in your new book, Hostile Homelands, The New Alliance Between India and Israel, about the Indian government's support for the Israeli government's policies of apartheid violence and genocide of Palestinians. Can you talk in just our last minute and a half, and we'll bring you back to do a full show on this, but just a little bit about this alliance between Israel and India and how this alliance is supporting state-sponsored violence in both Palestine and India?
Yeah, as you say, it's a big topic and needs a kind of entire conversation of its own. But in short, you know, you could say that India has become an extremely close partner with Israel over the past decade. In particular, the relationship is far deeper than that. People assume that it's just under Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi that this relationship kind of was built out. But India has had a long history with Israel, even prior to normalizing ties in 1992. So it has had a long military history, secretly purchasing weapons from as early as 1962. Be that as it may, the situation now is that India is the biggest purchaser of Israeli weapons. An Indian company now, or many Indian companies now co-produce Israeli arms in factories across India. These include machine guns, sensors, drones. In fact, Israeli drones made in India were sent to Israel between December and January, this past December and January, and it's very likely that these drones, combat drones, are going to end up in Gaza. So that just tells you the closeness of the relationship with regards to the military. An Indian company owns Israel's biggest port, the Haifa port, and if you ask, like, why is it important? Well, in the context of the Abraham Accords, right, in which you had these deals, so-called peace deals, but these kind of normalization deals with Israel and several Arab countries, India will now, through the port, help Israel integrate into the Middle East economically, which is a big deal. And so ultimately, India has become very central to subsidizing the occupation. And, we hear about the US sending $3.7 billion per year to Israel, but we don't hear much about how India purchases close to $2 billion worth of arms from Israel per year. And so these are extremely close ties, and this is what I mean by subsidizing the occupation, because they are purchasing the weapons that, they're purchasing the weapons and they're helping Israel sustain its military industrial complex. Now, the disturbing thing, in the context of this larger discussion of, what's happening in Gaza, after October 7th, Israel canceled